You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to my guest, Amy Benjamin. That's right. There are two Amys in this conversation. That happens. It does happen. I should maybe even do an analysis of whether Amy is the most common name that shows up in my guests or not. That's an idea. Amy Benjamin shares her personal story today of finding or trying to find and figure out what was going on with her body and being told by doctors, a parade of doctors, that everything was normal and she was fine until she hit a point where she knew for herself that she wasn't fine and she really needed some answers. And in her case, the answer was menopause. So this is a very good story that she shares, and Amy shares a lot of solid information about resources. So let's get to that conversation. Let's do it. Amy Benjamin, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am ready. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Yay. We had our set of like technical glitches, you and I separately and together, to get this started. So it's going to be good. I ask everybody I talk to, I ask them, what part of the world do you call home?
So I am in a suburb of Des Moines, Iowa. So right in the middle of snow right now.
Very nice. Very nice. I love it. All right. So one more get to know you warm up question. What is one way that art or beauty shows up in your day-to-day life?
I love that question. I am always looking. I feel like one of my signature things is to find joy every day in something. And so every day I take a look outside, which is also good for your body to get that sunshine, to hit those eyeballs right away in the morning. But to find the beauty of the sunrise, or are there birds singing outside? I'm very attuned with nature. So I try to find within those first few moments of rising to go and find some nature right away.
And so it sounds to me like when you answer that, that you have modified that because of the winter landscape, that you are peeping on nature from inside.
And yes, but I still am looking outside because there are, cardinals and beautiful, beautiful birds and there can still be a beautiful sunrise, and the skies are crystal blue in the winter. So there's still plenty to appreciate.
It was not a critique. It was just a clarification. I think that's very smart to get your fix.
Yes.
For the outdoors on the inside, if the weather is in the way.
For sure.
I love it. So, topic of the day, not the weather in Iowa in the winter. We're going to talk about a time when you personally were experiencing a basket of physical and emotional symptoms, and you had a little bit of a hard time getting medical support that was working for you because it turned out to be perimenopause, menopause. Are you ready to talk about that today?
Absolutely.
All right.
So
give us the timeline.
Ahead.
Yeah. So give us the timeline. How long ago was it that you hit a point where you felt unwell enough to go to your doctor for support?
I have to say that like most women, you don't realize that you're going through some of the symptoms until it's been identified that you actually were in perimenopause at the time, or these are symptoms that, could just be an isolation symptoms on their own, but then you throw it all together and they figure out that that's what is actually happening. So I have to be honest, that's what was happening early on. So I just recently retired from education, and I was a middle school teacher to end my career. So I was working with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. And I was just getting some symptoms that I didn't quite identify. And I think one of the big ones, there was like joint pain and things. And I'm like, dang, I guess I'm just getting old. And I'm in my early 40s.
All right, so early
So,
40s. So sorry to jump in,
no,
but
that's okay.
how long ago was that? Was that like a decade
So
ago, 15
I'm
years ago?
60 now.
Okay, so 20 years ago. Okay, all right. So that's the time frame, right? So 20 years ago, you began to get joint stiffness. I'm 52, so I'm right in the thick of it. And I'm very receptive to the idea that what you said is like when you first start to have some of the symptoms that can be perimenopause or menopause, they are very attuned to the symptoms of being alive, and hard to kind of figure out. Okay, so you were still working 20 years ago though.
Absolutely. So I was also a leader in our school. So I was part of the committees to run the dis you know, I was on district committees and on, the building committees. I was in leadership role in my school and had three kids.
Three teenagers is what you said. So,
So going through the all the things that busy teens are a part of, so you're managing all of that. And then just the having trying to I feel like one of the symptoms too was like, how am I continually having to manage all this, and this is becoming more than it should be,
So
right?
tell us
Is
a little bit more because I cut you off, which makes me a bad host. But you mentioned joint pain, but tell us some more at that time working in the middle school, which by the way, you do get a nomination for sainthood because that's a
I always say you
specialized,
got to be a little crazy to be a middle school teacher anyway,
you
so
know, and I'm glad that you and other angels like you do it because it sounds hard to me. All right, so you're a middle school teacher, you're in leadership in the school, and you're a mom to three teenagers. You have joint stiffness or joint soreness, and what other things did you start to notice that were going on that you maybe didn't realize at first, but now you look back and you notice that those are symptoms?
So the memory issues. So that would be another that I, looking back, is like, oh, I forgot about this, or I need to start writing more things down, because I'm not feeling like that was kind of where I was getting. Like, I'm not feeling like I'm managing things as well as I was managing them before. Things started feeling a little bit more, the ability to have some forgetfulness was in there, and that wasn't typical.
Okay.
Knowing all student names was like one of my gifts. I
Okay, yeah.
had a 275 students every 2 days. I knew them all, and I could recognize past students in the halls and doing all that kind of stuff. Little things like that started. So memory and brain fog, remembering certain procedures possibly. And I'm looking back at during the time, I'm just like, I'm just must be tired. I just must be just a little overwhelmed. There's a lot going on in my life. That's normal, right? And for all of us, especially women going through, 45 to 55 ish that's kind of the pinnacle of our careers. Like we're like in it and at the end of it. And we are in those leadership roles. And when you start second guessing yourself, that's a shame. And when it's perimenopause symptoms that's really causing it, you haven't lost your ability to do these things. Your brain is just restructuring during this time. And knowing that now, I wish I'd known that then, because then I
Well,
could have
yes.
taken some steps. Yes.
That's the thing that makes this interesting and great, is that while it's nice to talk to people our own age who are going through it, the important people that you want to hear this is you want to hear the women who are in their 20s and 30s so that they can begin to be more prepared.
Yes,
So,
it's
and
kind of a
on that,
goal.
Right, and it's harder now. So anyway, on that thread, I'm going to come back to you and talk more about your direct experience going through this when you went to the doctors and stuff. But I do want to ask you if you had any, if your mom, grandma, aunts, did they ever talk to you about the experience of menopause and what they went through at all?
Not a word, nothing. So I feel I had a young mom, and I feel like I now know around the time she was definitely going through the thick of it. And for my parents' generation, They lost the ability to have HRT. So it was just, they just absolutely were white knuckling. And I can feel like, I just remember, and this is a horrible thing for a mom to say to a daughter, but I feel like I just chalked it up to the menopause later, was that I had announced to her in a car trip that I was pregnant with our first. And she was like, "Why would you ever bring a child into this world?"
Oh,
And
wow.
it
And
was
you
like,
think that was her going through menopause and
oh
having.
yeah,
Okay.
yes, because the filter, your
Yep.
filters are gone, kind of like you can kind of control, but there's moments where like that filter is just off and you just say what you mean.
Yeah.
And so I just, there was more irritability and I didn't understand it at the time. And we didn't live in the same community. We weren't even in the same state. And so when I would get together with her, it would be, you know, I didn't see all the other symptoms of menopause, wouldn't have recognized it at that point anyway.
Right.
But now looking back on her journey is like, oh, that's probably why she said that. I know in her heart, she didn't really mean that.
It probably,
Right?
I will take a second to just give you a tap on the shoulder and say that probably hurt when your mom said that. And
Absolutely.
her intention and otherwise, one of the really hard things about the human experience is really that even when people have a very good explanation for when they don't behave the way we want them to, it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt when they say things that
Right,
hurt.
right,
So
right.
I see you there making that statement. Okay, so what about back to still on the topic of what exposure or knowledge did you have going into this? Do you remember having friends or coworkers, which you actually worked in probably a very female work
Yes.
environment, which is a stereotype of a school, but stereotype because it's true.
Over 80% are women, and
Women.
over half of those will be the ages of 45 to 55.
And so, did you know anybody within your social and work community who you had seen go through perimenopause and menopause?
Literally can only think of one that was going through, just horrible hot flashes.
That's the one we see, yeah.
Yes, that's the
Yeah.
visible signs. But did anybody talk about any of that? No, not until I started coming into school and talking about it. Like that, you know, then the conversation opened up. Right before retirement, all the teachers are like, "Amy, this." And I'm like, "Yeah, yep, that's a signal. Yeah, you should get checked." Like, you know, all of that. But gosh, do I wish we had had conversations about what was happening instead of just feeling sorry for my poor colleague who had extreme hot flashes, extreme.
Right. I will say that that matches my experience. The only part of this that I had ever seen was I had some coworkers who I saw have a hot flash, and it looked horrible watching them go through it. But I do think it's a really, really bizarre thing about our society at the moment that if you turn on, and I'll use television is changing the way we watch it, but like commercials on TV, there are a bazillion prescriptions for what have hopefully are very rare afflictions. They sound, like really crazy stuff.
Yes.
And or I mean, you would think, and maybe there is, based on, the TV commercials, you would think that, incontinence and like it is a major problem that is affecting 75% of the world. Maybe it is, right? I have no idea. But there's not any the perimenopause and menopause conversation until very recently, from my exposure, was limited to jokes about
Sure.
hot flashes and an occasional mention as a punchline in a movie, which I think jibes with your experience. Like we didn't have any exposure, right? Okay, so, and I have this question in my own life now, and I can't say it's like I feel like I turned 50 and the entire world was like, "Hi, menopause, menopause." I don't know if that is like it's like you walk into a window and you're like
It's like your
tagged.
AARP
Right,
kind of card.
exactly. So I don't know, because like we said, the best time to have this information is so you can prepare for it in advance. And so to do that, it has to be, a part of the earlier conversations. I hope that this crosses. But back to the doctor, you are experiencing Memory confusion, or memory, you're noticing memory forgetfulness. Brain fog is one of the descriptions of it. You've got joint pain. You go to the doctor. You're probably experiencing some anxiety and doubt because your memory is waffling a little bit, which is disarming. You go to the doctor. What does the doctor say when you show up and you say something's wrong?
I'm going to be honest, I didn't go to the doctor for any of that
What
because I
did you go
just
to the
figured
doctor
it was
for? Okay.
normal.
Okay. Oh,
I
so
figured it was normal.
you were like, this is age. Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I guess this is just part of getting older. What? So I think I was 49 when I ended up getting a frozen shoulder, which is another perimenopause symptom. And so frozen shoulder is you lose the ability, like you can't do your bra. Like if that's like one of the things. So if you can't like get your hand back and fasten or unfasten your bra and it hurts, like that's kind of one of those clues that it could be a frozen shoulder. But I only had 18% mobility in the shoulder when it
Wow.
got to its worst. So they were to the point they were like, yeah, we feel like we might. I did go to an orthopedic for that. And the line, and again, remember, I'm not knowing that any of this is related to perimenopause at all. And the orthopedic doctor said, I'm like, why did this happen? I thought maybe it was because I was painting a ceiling and I like stretched something out of place or, but it just continually got worse and worse and worse. And I was losing mobility. And it does take a while for me to go to a doctor,
It's
but
very Midwestern of you.
very normal.
Specifically Midwestern though. Like
Yes.
there's a very established joke that is like when if the Midwestern farmer comes in to the doctor, like sound the sirens,
You
like
got
because
it. You got to pay attention.
something is very wrong. Yeah.
So I'm talking to him and I'm like, so why does this happen? Why did this happen? And he said, and I never will forget it because it just like etched in my brain as a huh. He's like, we really don't know. It could be it generally is happening to women between the ages of 45 and 55. And I'm like, okay. So later, when I'm learning everything about it, I'm like, I want to go back to that orthopedic doctor and go, here's your reason, and here's what you need to do to help your patients.
So did you have like a did you have like surgery or procedure or
I did
therapy?
not. I had a lot of physical therapy. I had
Okay.
injections to try to calm it down, and pain relieving, kind of, yeah, that kind of, but yeah, they were
All
ready to
based on the
go. You know,
symptom,
it
yeah.
might just need to be broken free. And I was 100% not wanting to do that. I'm just like,
So yeah, frozen shoulder, which I have not experienced, but that is on the list. It's a long list of symptoms, and they're there. So okay, so you're in the orthopedist. The orthopedist is doing he's treating the symptoms as if there is only a what do we use for that? Only like a biophysical, like it's a muscular issue, it's a bone issue that's causing it, right? He's not talking to you
Yeah,
about
the tendon
perimenopause.
just kind of starts to freeze up,
Tight freeze.
basically.
So the tendon. So he's just looking at your body and your structure. He's not talking to you about hormones or anything like that.
Not at all. Not at all.
So what you have a you say you had a turning point. And so
Yes.
I think I may have skipped a question here, but I'm gonna ask this and then if I missed it again, I'll go back because I
Okay.
like that. So if you had a turning point where you were, which you describe it as being prompted by a doctor telling you that you're quote unquote fine, you're fine. So the first question I have is not a good question, but it'll be funny maybe. Is so I my unscientific research based entirely on my life experience as a human being is that nothing is resolved ever or improved by telling someone that they're fine. And and so in fact, in my experience, if you say to someone, "Oh, you're fine," you get like a rebound reaction. Like, how could you say that to me, right? So
It
why do you
just
think
sets off the anger right
sets off
away.
the anger? So then you're not you don't, are not going to know this, but feel free to spout off whatever you think. Why do you think that doctors ever say this to people?
Because they don't know. They don't know what to say because they don't know what is wrong.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, so many doctors that we encounter, and I'm not out there to blame the medical community. It is a lack of training, and that's not necessarily their fault. But menopause training, you can have an hour to 2 hours maybe of menopause training for an OBGYN for any of the specialties. And I mean, Mary Claire Haver is someone that I've personally met and is huge in this space. Went on a menopause cruise with her, which was amazing. And there were like five other docs on that cruise that were incredible. And she's like, I learned over a pizza lunch. It was an optional pizza lunch to know anything about half of our life, half of our life.
It is, when you say it like that, it's so crazy. I actually know somebody in my town who is a female OB, and she has converted her practice to primarily menopause issues. And the reason is she also says what you said. She's like, listen, you got to understand, I did not get training on this in med school. Like this is like when I noticed that it was happening to me and other people, I was like, why don't we have more information? So I
Because
think
it
that's a
should
really
be not only OBGYNs who is the natural one that we feel like should know, but they may not. Cardiologists should know when a woman's coming in with heart palpitations that don't seem to have a cause, that's most likely going to be a perimenopause situation when nothing else seems to be wrong. Endocrinologists, I mean, you go through the whole spectrum. An ortho, any of
Everybody,
them actually should have something. So they're like, when you have someone come in and here's what they're complaining of, and you don't see any other causation for it, then you should consider this.
And I will say one of the things, I agree with what you're saying, but I will also add that one of the things that drives me personally bananas, which is like this is not actually part of the interview, is that as a woman, like people in the medical profession sometimes diagnose you just based on your age. So like if you're 20, they're like, are you pregnant? And that's it. That's everything is, are you pregnant? Right. And then you age up a little
Because
tiny
they know what
bit.
to do with that. They know what to
Exactly.
do with that.
And then you hit a thing and it's like, oh, well, this is menopause. And it's just like this catch-all. It's like, listen, not everything is related to, this one thing. So it's like, I think it's some of it is, I mean, but the bigger thing, and we're talking about menopause, is the lack of awareness and knowledge. Okay, so did you ever have a doctor or a medical team or a nurse or anybody who helped you, or did you discover this completely by yourself?
Well, I'm gonna say, I went to my OB. Like,
Okay.
this was another symptom that I went in for my yearly and had said, I'm starting to have a little bit of pain when having sex.
Yeah.
And it was a male gynecologist, and
Right.
he had nothing about estrogen ever came up at all. And he's like, well, coconut oil might help.
So I will say that is okay. So
What?
I have a I had my OB retired. So for a long time I had this male OB and he retired, which is the only time. And so he but he delivered the babies and all kind of things. But the very last conversation I had with him was a full on disconnect because he was a man in his 70s who wanted to talk to me about how I might experience menopause. And I was just like, I know. This is not, there's no way for you to know. There's no way for you to know. You can read about it. You could talk to other people about it, but you're not going to experience it.
So I've already gone through three doctors that missed it completely, right? So then as weight gain became an issue, which I'm a very active person, I've not usually had trouble with weight. I eat very well. And so I was already doing the right things, but the weight was just coming on in the midsection, which is so common. And talking with my doctor, my primary, it was, well, I guess you'll just need to work out more and eat less. And that I'm like, I am already around 1,000 calories and less. I am not going, this is called starvation when I'm like watching carbohydrates, I'm doing all the protein, I'm doing the stuff. And it was, so that was just another time it would have been, maybe it could be this.
So you
But
go to these doctors, so none
so
of them mention it. And then, so how do you where does this light bulb go on where you're like,
So
what happens?
finally, There was so I also became divorced during that period of time.
Okay.
So that's tends to be a little bit of a trend too, and I actually have talked with my ex about it. We get along fine. It didn't work, but we get along very well. So I have said, you know, I really think that I said, I know I bring up the word a lot because he knows I'm a content creator in that space. But I said, I do think that that had something to do with it too, was like my lack of just wanting to, you know, there's so many jokes about he breathes loud, the chewing, like, you know, all the stuff. He becomes so hypersensitive to things and just the irritability is huge. And so, again, looking back, I could have, if I had been able to have some assistance with that. Who knows? Who knows? But this is where we are, and I'm fine with it. But so I'm dating, and I'm having who now is my husband, having a lovely dinner. Not everything was fine, where everything was absolutely fine. When suddenly I start getting these little minute microsecond thoughts of not wanting to be here on the earth.
Okay, so suicidal ideation, flashes of
But it
suicide.
was, but so, like I'm saying,
Right.
microseconds. Microseconds. It wasn't ever, I'm not that kind of person. And
Right, you
so I'm
haven't had
like,
that.
I don't have, I'm not, I mean, that was the wrong thing to say. I am not, I have not been a depressed person, and or anxious or any of that, but perimenopause can do that. And so I'm like, this is like wrong. It happened like three times in a meal. And I'm like, what is that? That's insane. So I'm like, I'm either going crazy, which a
Yeah.
lot of women feel that. I'm either going crazy or I don't know, maybe it's menopause. I don't know. You know, so at
Yeah.
that moment, I made a, we didn't have very many people to go to here. We still don't. It's getting better, but not many doctors that treat or identify menopause. And so I did go to a women's health clinic, and they're like, they tested my levels and like, you are in menopause. I'm like,
Yeah.
oh. And again, I'm going to pop back a step because there's one more doctor, because I did go to an additional OBGYN for extreme bleeding. I'm in a
Okay.
middle school going through super plus in like an hour or more, a
Right.
little over an hour. And so I had an ablation done. Still, no mention that this could have been
That really,
perimenopause.
I mean, because you, that really is sort of outrageous that nobody even talked to you about it because, like, the, yeah, no, that is very unfortunate. So, all right, but you
So that
go.
was where I started to finally get some
Yeah.
information, and I'm like, started doing some more research on my own, and I'm like, I didn't know it, and I feel like I'm a pretty well-informed person. I research, I do things to, I mean, I don't go down rabbit holes, but I want to know what's going on.
And I'll just throw this back because you were in a school, because one of the jokes that I have about menopause is because we some people sometimes call it reverse puberty, like or cougar puberty, right? Like when we go through puberty, we're surrounded by peers our same age. So it's like, you know, it's awkward and it's weird, but you know, there are other people around us in the locker
In the
rooms and
locker
at
rooms,
sleepaway camp and in the bus and all of those things, and it's all sort of happening at the same time. Perimenopause and menopause, we're usually not in that kind of community where we're surrounded by people our same age, but you actually were not far off from that. You were in a working situation where you actually did have a large pool of women, which would have been an ideal knitting circle situation for people to share this information. And you didn't,
this
and
is
even with
literally
that,
10 to 15 years ago,
yeah,
and
even
nobody
with that,
was
you didn't get
talking
it.
about it.
Yeah.
It is changing now. So all
Yeah.
it needs is one person to bring it up in a staff room, and the whole room is talking about menopause now. And, you know, so I started this around 3 years ago, and there's been such a movement in the past 3 years to be more vocal and be don't be afraid. Like
Yeah.
anybody I talk to, and they're like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I help women in menopause. Oh my gosh. And then the stories flow. You know, we want to talk about it, but we weren't
Yes.
allowed to talk about it.
Well, and So many of the first things just seem like they could be anything else. You're a little bit cranky, you're a little bit tired. You know, you've been a caregiver for 20 years. Those things fit there, right? That's that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm tired, I'm busy, all, you know, I'm sick of picking up your socks. Like, you know, it makes sense, right? And then the joint stuff, I mean, the whole this is normal aging, that goes until it doesn't. And I think that there's a lot of, it's helpful if somebody says to you, oh, did you know that this could be this? Or they take you through the questionnaire for, you know, these are the symptoms. I mean, they're for everything. You can go online and take a questionnaire for, like, if you are a psychopath. You know, there should be, it
Yes.
should be more out there. What personality type do you have for the perfect dog you should own? That's like, you know, there should, the people
Yes.
should be more aggressive with this. Okay, so you go on, so you do get some support from the Women's Health Clinic, but then you choose to study to become a menopause coach and help others. I think if you were to go back to middle school career advice, I know I didn't have menopause on the list of potential careers I could choose from. I wonder if this is a newish kind of thing and how you discovered it and why you felt it was important for you to do this work.
I've always been have a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit at heart. So I've had my own businesses on and off throughout my life, really. And so I knew that going into retirement, I'm not done giving back, right? So I mean, I still love teaching. I just feel like this may be an area where I could truly help women be able to figure some things out before all the things I had to go through. I don't want everybody to have to go through that. I don't want my daughters to have to go through that. I don't want my nieces to. I just feel like our generation too is about, hey, we're opening up some conversations and they're not going to be secret anymore. And we don't need to follow the same path. We don't need to follow that same path.
And would you add to that list, like we're not going to keep it a secret? Would you also add to that that we're not going to be embarrassed?
Right. So one of the classes that I taught in middle school was lifespan and the life stages.
Okay.
No mention
Oh, in the teaching materials,
of
none of nothing.
menopause
Okay.
for life stages as you're, you know, here's some things as a baby, here's some things as a toddler, you know, and they go through middle age and then they go into older age and there's no mention of menopause in those. And I feel like that's a dis like they don't even know that that's a life stage that women go through.
Yeah, no,
So,
that's fair.
I mean, if you go all the way down to the root of it, we're not told about it from the time we were kids. We don't know anything about like, hey, in the future, yeah, you're going to get wrinkles. You might have gray hair. You might, you know, but hey, there's also this thing with your hormones that happens. But it's not a part of it.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to help with that part too. So I
Yeah.
do work with teachers.
And I think that that's very good. I think that when we come to, there's some research, and I'm not an expert on this, but there's research on when dealing with children and hard topics, there's a prevailing idea that is if you know, it might feel like awkward to give children information about things going on in their life or their family, but that when they don't have the information, that's when they lean towards rumors and friends. And I think that's true with all sorts of things. It's like if we don't have a baseline set of information, we're gonna go ask our girlfriends or the people at the post office or the people online. And so having people who are out there trying to create like real pockets of information for experience and research and whatever might be there is helpful and important. How did you find a coaching organization to, did you get certified through a trainer or did you just study up and do it yourself?
Oh no, I have a certification through Girls Gone Strong is who I chose. I also was part of the UK is ahead of us in menopause education. And so I was a member of the Menopause Experts Group and had certification through them as well. That was the first one because I just happened to like in researching, it was coming up, popping up in my feed that, just like it is for all of us, popping up in our feed that, or that menopause experts. What, and I'm like, what is a menopause expert?
Right,
Like,
but
I
that's
want to be
it.
a menopause
There
expert. So, so that kind of got that started. And then I'm like, I truly do want a good certification. What is out there? And so they have a very strong program, and it's you have testing and quizzing throughout, big old biology book for you with the workbook. Like, it's a legitimate course, and then
Oh,
they
and I did
provide with
not mean
support.
to. Yeah.
Oh no, I'm just
Okay.
letting the audience know that, like,
Okay.
it's not just like you sign up and you just have the name. Like, there was work involved for sure, and recertification. So I just did that. I do want to be current on
Yeah.
everything. So
Whenever there's something that's new and on the fringe, there's got to be somebody who at the beginning says, I'm going to do this. So I did not mean to be
oh no, I didn't take it.
highlighting that, because it would have been if you had come back and said, I didn't find what I wanted. And so I studied real hard in these things. I also think that that's valid. I really do. Like, I think that a lot of the first line of this is very experiential. And like, this is what I experienced, and these are the other things I've heard of. Okay. So
And
let's
I put
talk
myself in
about
rooms where they were talking about it,
a
right?
hundred
So
percent. Yeah.
the I'm watching some of these lead doctors on Instagram that I'm also there, So I'm watching those, and I'm talking a couple of years ago, and then they bring up, hey, we're gonna all get together for a cruise. I'm like, I have to be on
I love
it,
that. I love that. So let's talk about the impact of social media, because social media often gets a bad rap, but it has definitely been a big way that women are connecting and distributing anecdotes and information and support around the topics of perimenopause and menopause. Sometimes this can be really fun, actually. There are several, you described yourself as a content creator. There are actually a couple of what I would call menopause influencers, some of whom are really hilarious and charming and funny. Do you follow any of the personalities that are online out there? You're there, but who else do you follow?
Well, I follow the doctors that so Kelly Casperson, Heather Hirsch, Rachel Rubin, Corinne Mann is amazing if you have cancer in your background and you're wanting to know what to do. So I follow, and some of these women were on that cruise,
The
and I was able
cruise,
to
yeah.
do one-on-one conversations and interviews with them, that were just, it was just amazing.
Those are
So
great
yes, I
names. I
do, and
didn't
there's some
know
fun ones as
the,
well.
yeah.
I would have to say, I also just caution people to see what the purpose of them being on social media is, because there are several companies that are promoting products and having their menopause influencer for that, and it isn't necessarily hoping. I mean, they can throw out some suggestions and things, but it's, I would just a little bit of caution.
Sure. No, I mean, I think that most,
Because
I
it seems
mean,
to be a train of like, hey, we can make money in menopause, and
100%.
that's not my purpose. I want to help women, and if I have dollars attached, that'd be amazing, but that's not why I'm there,
Yeah.
right? So
I had not expound the doctors you mentioned. So most of my exposure to the influencers are people who are sort of on the comedic side of it, who are who are telling their stories about, cleaning the house at 3 in the morning in their, and dancing and
yes.
doing things like that. And the very and Melanie, who is the We Do Not Care Club, who made those very
Yes,
funny videos with
that
all the
was,
glasses on. And she is, I think, now sharing her story of support through some of the online doctors, which,
I think she's working with Midi Health now.
Yeah. And so she's all the things that you mentioned there. She is like, so
But
yeah.
that is a reputable, like,
Yeah. Oh, okay. So yeah.
it's, yes, I don't have anything negative to say about that, because initially my Alloy Health was
Yep.
someone I worked through. I'm on my ninth doctor through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I just learned that it's common. The most common number is 11 by the time you've
Whoa.
started and gone through. That is the average that women have gone through to find their care. I went through two this year
I will
because of
say,
retirement. And then there was somebody who was like, oh, it's no, you just want to get, you want me to pay a $300 fee and this and this and this. And then I don't, my insurance covers nothing. This doesn't make any sense to me. I know. So I found someone else. So yeah, it, you know, you hopefully you find one, you get to grab them and hold on to them for a while.
the
But,
thing that I think that's sad about that, just as a commentary from me as a human being, is that a bulk of the work is falling on the people who are experiencing the symptoms.
yeah.
And so it's like just, 9 or 11 doctors over, even several years.
10
That's a
years.
lot of
Yeah.
disruption. And that sounds really hard. And this is not the first place I hear this. You also hear this with people who have chronic and illnesses and
Yes. Yes.
immunocompromised type things, where it's years and years before they find a team that will actually help them. And I have so many thoughts about that, but none of them are fun. None of them are
So
fun. So let's.
telehealth is a godsend, and that's
Yes.
really been within the last three years around for the telehealth to become the telehealth menopause specific
Right.
is
And
amazing. And
yeah.
I yeah, if you can't find someone, they will help you. Like, so it's
And
yeah,
I think that
so.
one of the things that crosses over a variety of things, and let's see if this resonates with your experience. You kind of got to push until you find somebody who you feel is actually listening to what you say, instead of somebody who's just like, yeah. And so it's like, yes, I hear you. That sounds uncomfortable. Let's talk about it, what it could be.
Going in now, I am so specific. I am like, I am coming here for. I am no longer going to be just listening to the doctor at first. I'm going to say, here's the reason for my visit. I mean,
Right.
you have to be so strong in advocating for yourself. So this last time, I'm like, I want testosterone. I'm like, I'm calling ahead of time, going, do you prescribe this? If not, I'm moving on. Like, I'm not going to sit through appointments and get shut down and feel bad about myself and then go, oh, but it's really hard to find somebody else. Maybe I'll just stick with what I got. You know, a lot of women will do that. They'll sit. You know, sit through and go, oh, well, I guess this is the reality. No, you can find another person. You just keep looking, and there's no shame in that.
And I will say that that also transcends other things. That you can apply that same lesson. I do not think that we teach people to advocate for themselves well in doctor's office. It's something that I've had to learn for myself. Some people are better at it, but I mean, I've seen people do that with blood pressure medications. There's like 120 different ones, but you get one that makes you dizzy, and it's like you're like, oh, this must just be it, instead of going back and saying, hey, you know what? I feel like crap. Is there something else we can try? And so I think
So
that that's
someone
a
in
really.
postmenopause, I literally had an appointment yesterday, and there's adjustments.
Yeah,
So
and so
it's not a one and done. You can, if you start feeling in another area, you get it, you adjust. You
yes.
adjust. It's not just sit with it.
Not just sit with it. And there are many people, if you want some support in that, like you can talk, like, so that, well, let's make the segue. In a second, we're going to wrap this up, but talk about what you do and how people can find you online after they hear this interview. If, for example, if somebody feels uncomfortable advocating for themselves.
I have, so I basically say that I help women stop Dr. Google in the middle of the
Right.
night because usually there's sleep problems and it's like, why can't I sleep? And we're Googling, why can't I sleep? You know, so the Dr. Google and guesswork, I try to help take that away and help you to kind of be able to reclaim your life. And give you strategies, give you, for instance, I do have a free resource about how to talk to your doctor about menopause. So
Okay.
it goes through all of the steps and a small tracker. And then what are you actually going to take to the doctor? And what should you expect when you go to the doctor? What should you not tolerate at the end of the appointment? And when is it time to move on? So I have resources for that. I have a menopause tracker. The Menopause Survival Guide, I think I'm going to be dropping that for your
That's
audience.
right, you do. You have a
Yes.
special, that's the special offer for the audience, which is the Menopause Survival Guide, a practical science-informed menopause handbook with checklists, symptom prompts, and simple daily strategies to improve energy, sleep, mood, and clarity, and some doctor visit questions. So there's a link for the audience in the show notes or description, wherever you're watching or listening to this episode. The easiest way to get the links for everybody who's watching and listening and really eager is to be a subscriber to the Imperfect Adulting email community. Because the reason it's easy is because then it's in your email box and you just click on it. You don't have to like hunt it up. So shout out your website so that people can hear it, and that will also be in the show notes.
Yeah, so the HTTPS slash, and then it's amybenjaminmoore.com.
Very good.
I also just
Which,
say that, you can find me on Instagram. I am one of the more humorous on there. I don't, it's not just science, but I do some humor with the science. And I also have a book coming out in this early next couple of months here, and it is a humorous take, of menopause and a little bit of survival through, because it's not only your body. You need the education. You need to figure out what's going on with your body, your mind, relationships, and work, and how to handle that. So I try to tackle that. Hot flashes and hot, cold truths will be the title. So,
One of the things that I learned was how few, because we do the symptom that everybody knows is the hot flashes. It's actually a pretty small percentage of women that will actually experience that to that like very famous level. And I just, when I started this, when I started getting the like ads, like menopause, 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 that was the only of these things that I knew about. And now I know there's a big list, which is really, really cool. All right.
Yes. Or a
Are
bit
you,
overwhelming.
oh, it can be overwhelming. And
Yes.
like you said, be careful about the information you get online, because some people have a very like sort of, urgent fear-based sort of approach to this. And so sometimes it can not only be overwhelming, it can be scary. And so I think that, and it can, it's like, you're unsure of what's happening. And it's like, who do I talk to? So, all right, Amy. Aim. I'm Amy. You're Amy. We're all Amy
I know,
today.
it's great.
Are you ready for the final fun questions?
Throw them at me.
Let's do it. Teachers are middle school teachers, unrattleable, not able to be rattled. Okay. Do you start your day with coffee, tea, or something else?
Coffee? Can I say a quick story about it?
Sure.
Really quick. So that was one of the things that I didn't drink coffee at all, but my new husband, that was how he would greet me in the morning, bringing me coffee in bed with a good morning kiss. And I'm like, well, what the heck? I'm not having that stop.
Yep, I love
So
it.
that's my coffee in the morning.
I love
Yes.
it. That's a very good story. I'm so happy I asked that. All right, very good. What is something that is a cool local community event where you live in like the bigger community that you look forward to every year?
I love our theater.
Okay.
I go to all of our Civic Center events. Love that. Love wine events. I'm also like big into my husband's a competitive racer, so we go to races, and there's a couple. I do walks,
So he's like
but
a
I love that as well.
runner running events as opposed to like car events.
He's a runner,
He's a
yes.
runner. All right.
Runner,
So
yeah.
the theater schedule, you're watching that and you guys are taking advantage of the running community. Love those. All right. This one's totally random. Name your favorite grocery store chain or one of the places that you go in your town to get food.
I don't know if anybody's gonna know what the store is. It's called Hy-Vee, and I think they're basically Midwest. But they've got just about everything you need.
Very good. I love that. That's it, Amy Benjamin. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest today on The Art of Imperfect
The honor
Adulting.
was mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.